desperately need more investment in the school. It's a Victorian school. The head teachers having to go in holidays to actually fix things themselves. And also, I've been painting school halls over the summer last year.
Have you? Credit to you.
Try and save the school some money, which is really, really wrong. But what really gets me is you've got some fantastic teachers out there, and I'm not, you don't even start me on the NHS side, but some fantastic teachers out there who don't know where they stand, where their pay is coming from, because the government just mess about, push your foot around and don't make a decision.
And that's why the frustration is there. John, the music means we have to move on. Thank you. We got you in. We gave you that minute. But we must now move on. Thank you, John. Good luck with what you're doing at that school. Coming up after the news, Conservative Robert Jenrick turns vigilante as he tackles London's fare dodgers.
You think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the Barry and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
And he took a synthesizer with him as he did it, which is always a good move. Have you ever confronted a fare dodger, and how did that go? Plus, to the Middle East, Israel announces a major expansion of settlements in the occupied West Bank, and a return to that LBC exclusive yesterday. Children can access and buy knives, the ease with which they buy them, and even sell them to each other. Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, the suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court. 79 people were injured in the city on Monday evening. LBC's Liam Gotting has the latest.
Paul Doyle from the West Derby area of Liverpool has been charged with 7 offences, those being 1 count of dangerous driving, 2 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, 2 counts of wounding with intent, and 2 counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, at yesterday's press conference, which was led by Sarah Hammond, the Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Merseyside and Cheshire, she said the charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
Children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. The warning follows an investigation by LBC that found an average of 12 knives are being found in the UK's schools every day. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes joined police as they arrested 2 teenagers.
Hello, it's the police. Can you come to the door?
So they've just started beginning to search the house. Now these kids are only 14 and 16, the suspects, and they're believed to have sold hundreds of knives across the country. Zombie knives, deadly knives. And we're here so early because it's before the school run. They need to catch them before they go to school.
Snapchat says it takes action to remove content that breaches its rules. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. President Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Judges have agreed to pause the ruling made by a federal trade court earlier this week ahead of a full appeal. It means the administration can keep collecting the import taxes for now. Ministers have set out how they'll allocate money for school and hospital repairs in England. Around £1.2 billion, funding announced last year, will be used to address issues at hundreds of buildings. Schools Minister Catherine McKinnell told Nick some are in a shocking state.
We're talking repairing leaking roofs and windows, upgrading electrics, and then as part of a wider £2.1 billion of investment in school buildings, this is a pot of money that's allocated to help 656 schools fix things like boilers and roofs and asbestos.
In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 87.16. It closed down 9 points yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather. Cloudy with rain for many places this morning, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £185 million. Pounds.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at €250 million. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Friday, May the 30th. Can pay, won't pay. The epidemic that's spreading across the London Underground, and it needs to be said, by the way, public transport systems up and down the country, tackled by a prominent Conservative, some would say, as part of his campaign actually to wrest the Conservative leadership, Robert Jenrick. But I'll be asking you, once we've heard a little bit more detail on that story, have you ever confronted a fare dodger? Would you recommend it? In other news, more on the story you heard on the LBC News Bulletin.
Our investigation has found that kids as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other children on Snapchat. I'm LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the shocking details.
To the Middle East, Israel has said it will establish 22 new settlements in the occupied West Bank. Here, British Foreign Secretary David Lammy said yesterday,
what will end this suffering is a ceasefire, but if there's more that we can do to support children, of course we will seek to do that.
Plus,
people in London are more likely to be attached to the city as opposed to England. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, asking the good folk of the capital why.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Making the headlines, Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick. Of course, he was pipped to the post to be leader of the Conservative Party. It's widespread speculation, I'm sorry, I think there might be the last bit of hay for you, Ryan. Widespread speculation that he's part of his running to try and wrestle the leadership of the Conservative Party away from the rather uninspiring Kemi Badenoch. They are locked in fourth place, aren't they? As I said to the former party chairman, you don't go from 14 years in power to being in a remote fourth place, without putting in a heck of a lot of effort. That's quite some achievement they've managed there. How they're ever going to get... I mean, they've been around for nearly 200 years. Tamworth Manifesto, 1834. What the hell's he talking about? Look it up. 1834, Tamworth Manifesto. It may just be like all things. Anyway, let's come back to where someone who thinks he could possibly be a good steward for the party. And he's tackling a real problem. Now, I know I'm speaking as London, but I'm sure this happens on transport systems, the Manchester Metro and other places, Birmingham and everywhere else in the great city of Leicester. I'm sure it goes on. But have you ever actually confronted someone? Well, as I say, Conservative Robert Jenrick chose to. Now, it is worth saying he did have a cameraman or camera. We had a camera operator with him, so it wasn't like he was going on his own. He may well have had an assistant as well. I've no idea. By the way, it's not something I'd necessarily recommend you to do. But for Mr. Jenrick, it's probably what got worked because it's gone viral. Nearly 10 million views on one social media platform alone. So here he is, Robert Jenrick playing the role of Charles Bronson at Stratford Station in East London.
Excuse me, do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay? You can say off as much as you want. But everyone else has to pay. You're carrying a knife, you say? Nearly one in 25 people using London's public transport aren't paying for it. So there's eight officers down there, but 1 minute away, that gate's wide open. It's also just annoying watching so many people break the law and get away with it.
Or at least most of it.
Right, should we go over here to these guys here? Excuse me, gents.
Hello, hello.
You're on camera, mate. You're bang to rights.
Just step to the side.
All right, thanks very much, guys.
Now, subsequently, in an interview with the Times newspaper, Mr. Jenrick said one person told him, I've got a knife, I'm going to wreck you. He, Mr. Jenrick, says it's costing about £130 million a year. By the way, I absolutely underscore what he says. It is so annoying when you see people push through the barrier. And again, I speak of London. I don't obviously travel a lot on public transport in Birmingham or Manchester or other cities because I don't live there. But those barriers aren't particularly tough. I mean, I've seen a lad push his way through, and he wasn't a rugby player, this lad. There wasn't a lot to him, but just with one shove, mind you, there wasn't a lot of him, so that probably made me. I'd have to have a horse to get me through there. But one little mile push and he was off, and the staff just looked at him. Now, am I saying chase after him? Probably not. I don't want to see anyone get stabbed or punched or bottled or whatever it might be. I don't know. So what are the police view? Well, one former officer was not impressed. Policing commentator, former Met officer Graham Whetton, told LBC's Ian Dale,
I travel on the underground most days. There are still people fare dodging.
You can see it on frequent journeys. So he has got a very valid point. My issue is with the way he's actually conducted this. A sensible, responsible, balanced way would have been to contact TfL, ask to go out with one of the revenue teams and see exactly what they face every day when they do confront people who are fare dodging. It's a dangerous precedent when you see an elected politician doing this sort of stunt on their own without any, I presume, no risk assessment, no awareness. I presume he's got very minimal, if any, security around him at all. My concern is, if people start doing similar things, that will lead to some really serious incidents.
And that's why we're in the state of policing that we are. Where was the risk assessment? That's what you hear from the police officer. Meanwhile, the politician's prepared to have a go. Have we got this the wrong way around? The cop is saying, no, get your high-vis vest on. Get a risk assessment. Put it through human remains. May you must sign off on it. And the politician says, nah, let's give it a go. Susan Hall's a politician, Conservative member of the London Assembly, and sits on the Police and Crime Committee at City Hall. Do you support Mr. Jenrett's work, Susan Hall? Good morning.
Damn right I do, and good morning, Nick. I mean, I can only speak for London as well, because I live in London. I use the Underground most days, and every single day we see it, don't we? And yes, I have shouted at people.
Have you? Credit to you. What do you shout?
Some of it's not repeatable, but mainly you're cheating.
Hey, come on, Susan, you don't... Do you swear? Do you swear at them?
I get so cross. Yes, I do, because the rest of us pay our fees, right and proper, and more people are cheating.
OK, I want you to now... Don't use... For God's sake, don't use the F word or the other one, but just pretend...
No, I wouldn't use that word anyway.
Oh, right. No, just pretend I pushed through the barrier right in front of you. Susan Hall, what would you shout at me?
You're cheating.
And what happens? Do they turn around and say, get off, clear off, what's it to you? What happens next, Susan?
Well, I've learnt new language, let me tell you. Some of the things they say to me is absolutely appalling. You think, oh, I've not heard that before, but there we go. But it's no good just ignoring it. And I'm so disappointed to hear the police officer say no risk assessment. This is a problem. This is where we've got to in this country. Granted, I mean, Rob did talk to somebody who said he had a knife, and let's face it, Nick, we can believe that as well.
I'm afraid we can.
But if there was one enforcement officer against one other person, I get there's a real danger. If there's eight of them stood in a corner, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. And, I mean, the amount of money that's spent on these actual officers, I think it was 14.2 million on the Underground was spent in 23-24. I mean, millions of pounds spent. I'd put cameras, AI cameras, on every exit and entrance. Yes. Well, same thing, isn't it? And start catching these blighters because...
We're having a little bit of humour, but it's, as you rightly say, it is serious. Fare dodging is more than double TfL's target of 1.5%. It's costing £130 million a year, which people like you and I, who pay our fares, have to pick up. Should the mayor be doing more, lastly, Susan Hall?
Well, he should, and I've had a go at him about this before, as you can imagine. And I must say, I think that figure is underestimated, because if I see it every day, and you see it when you go on the tube, I think that's the tip of the iceberg, quite frankly.
Always enjoy speaking to you. Susan Hall, thank you. She's a Conservative member of the London Assembly and sits on the Police and Crime Committee at City Hall, 12 after 8. Listening to that is Peter Squires, who's a professor of criminology at the University of Brighton. Professor, you'll be aware of this, the so-called broken window theory. Does this play into that I don't pay my tube fare so I can nick something from a shop and then I can steal a bicycle or whatever it might be? Morning, Professor.
Morning. I think you're probably right. The broken windows idea is if people can get away with a little stuff, they will. I think in the case of Transport for London, I think the whole barrier system is designed to reduce staffing costs, a bit like supermarkets have you checking out your own goods. It reduces stuff, but it creates opportunities for abuse. And I think in Transport for London's case, they are stuck with a problem that if they want to kind of have a more secure system, they're going to have to employ more people and put in better technology.
Let's put ourselves in the position of the employer, TfL in this instance, a supermarket chain, whatever store it might be. Security officers told not to intervene, not to risk their personal safety. Employers don't have a different course of action there, do they?
No, and I think you made a joke about it, but I agree with the cop. The last thing we need are fights in tube stations where you get these moral vigilantes trying to take down people they think have failed to pay. I mean, I can see it. I've done things similar in the past to people who were vandalizing park property. We do need people to stand up and be counted, but I don't think you do it in ways that are very risky. My other thought is there is an argument about how the fish rots from the head down. I think people also feel that there's a lot of rich people and powerful people getting away with all manner of stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they want to have some too. Was it not so long ago that Robert Jenrick was mired in controversy about planning applications in Tower Hamlets that he had passed through? So I think we have a kind of rather selective sense of who should be punished for what here. And I think we need to kind of remember as a society that we all are invested in the same processes, and that if people didn't deny responsibility for so much, whether it's fare dodgers or planning decisions, we'd all be rather better off. And,
enjoyed our conversation, Professor. Thank you. We'll talk again. Peter Squires is Professor of Criminology at the University of Brighton. So have you tried to tackle this dodging? And what was the outcome? Were you successful? Do you, like the politicians, shout, "Hey, why don't you pay?" But what did you hear back? It's 8:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. LBC has learned children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. And Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places this morning, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the western stretch of the M25 clockwise from junction 15 at the M4 to 16 at the M40. It's all after an accident that happened earlier. On the M2, very busy now, westbound to junction 2 at the A228. Two lanes are closed for the emergency works and the exit slip road also remains closed. Also, delays continue around Battersea, especially northbound over Battersea Bridge, and that's because of the closure of Albert Bridge. High Street North and East Ham remains closed both ways because of a fire in a building. No Woolwich Ferry running. It remains suspended because of this ongoing technical problem. On the Underground, the District Line is suspended from East Ham to Whitechapel, and no Hammersmith and City Line between Barking and Liverpool Street.
This is LBC.
Many dentists refer their own patients on to Darwood and Tanner.
My name is Dr. Mark Kent. I'm a general dental practitioner practicing in a North London suburb. Darwood and Tanner have become my preferred referral practice. I feel that Dr. Andrew Darwood can provide the highest level of implant surgery that is available, together with giving my patients the option of alternative specialist treatments.
Download your information pack today. Search Darwood and Tanner. Your smile is our healthy obsession.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
People ask me, what's my good place? Wild swimming with the girls on a chilly spring morning. And knowing that with PensionBee, I can choose to invest in line with my values, which is why I picked their climate plan.
Last one in by blood!
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Credit if you did it, but how did it play out? Almost 19 minutes after 8, confronting fare dodgers. I do say now a warning. We are not suggesting you do it. We are not condoning. We are not recommending that you do it. But we want to hear your stories. And, of course, anybody wants to address the fact that TfL set a limit and it is more than double. They think they, and I think we'd accept 1.5 would be an acceptable level. It's at 3.4. It's costing £130 million. For purpose of illustration, it's considerably worse in New York. It's a little bit worse in Paris. Joanna's in Sudbury Hill. Joanna, tell me the story. Good morning.
Yes, I have seen lots of people doing it, and yeah. I have asked people, a few people behind my back pushing in.
Yes.
And I am the one who's paying, and the man is following me and pushing out. And I asked him, why are you doing that? You're piggybacking.
Yep.
You're supposed to be paying. I'm paying for you.
Yep.
And he laughed. He said, ha, 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 piggybacking. And a lady did it, and a school girl, and I said to them, you know, that is not ladylike. We're supposed to be an example.
Well done. Well said. What did they say back?
I was asked if I get paid for it to be a police to them.
Right.
Because if people are coping wrong things, and we also don't talk about it and confront them, we are not helping the government as well. Because all the things that needs fixing, it's getting worse if we people also not working with the government.
Well said, Joanna. Thank you for that. Michael in Dover. Michael, now you worked in public transport. Is that correct?
Yes, I did 30 years, well, 2 months short of 30 years.
Wow.
Most of it was supervising at station.
Underground or overground?
5 years
Wombling Free. Sorry, underground or overground?
Overground.
Overground station, okay. You saw some sites. Tell me some of the stations you worked at, Michael.
Well, mainly I was based at Dover.
Oh.
And we used to have regular ticket evaders coming through.
Yeah.
And I'd always get out of the office and stroll up and down the platform checking tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting reactions you get from people. Even people that got a season ticket, they've paid thousands of pounds for a season ticket, and they'd object to me asking to see their ticket.
Well, even hang on, but they had the season ticket on them anyway.
Yeah, they resented
Why?
The fact that they're pompous clowns. Basically,
pompous clowns. What a lovely troupe that would be to create pompous clowns. Oh, available to hire for bar mitzvahs, weddings, and anniversaries.
But basically, I used to say to him, "You've paid thousands of pounds for your ticket. Why wouldn't you want to show someone it?"
And how did they? That seems so valid. How did they respond?
Well, they resented the fact that I demanded to see their ticket. But on the second point of asking to see their ticket, it helped me out. Because as I went along the platform and asked for tickets, those that didn't have tickets would obviously come up with all sorts of excuses why they weren't going to show me a ticket. And a lot of them would say, oh, you're victimising me. But then I could point to the season ticket holder and say,
well,
look,
done.
I've already asked for his ticket there. So that wiped that argument out of the story.
What's the most ludicrous attempt, explanation, excuse someone made for not having a ticket valid for travel?
Oh, there's so many. But can I tell you this little ditty? I was on the station one day and there's a regular...
Ditty? You're going to sing it, are you? You're going to sing it, Michael.
Oh, you regret that.
What happened?
Basically, these three guys came onto the station, regular travellers without tickets and what have you. Mm. I asked them for a ticket. They didn't have tickets. They went back to the ticket office because they knew my attitude was if you didn't have a ticket, you wouldn't travel.
Mm.
So they went back to the ticket office, bought a ticket to the next station along the line, which was Martin Mill. And I let them travel. We had a spare member of staff that day, so I told the station staff I was going out on the train. The train came in, they boarded the train, I went up to the conductor, I told them, these three guys travel to Deal regularly, they've only got tickets as far as Martin Mill, I'm going to come with you and I'll kick them off the train at Martin Mill. As we arrived at Martin Mill, I walked down the train, there's the old slam door stop.
Yeah, I remember that.
I walked down the corridor, and they were sat in first class, ironically. And so I opened the door to the compartment they were in as the train came to a stop. I said, come on in, gents, this is your stop. And they said, no, we're going to Deal. I said, you've only got tickets for Martin Mill. I opened the door onto the platform. I said, come on, off you get. They said, oh, well, we've changed our minds. We want to go to Deal. I said, right, you go and buy a ticket from the conductor before the train's due to go. You can travel to
Deal.
And
what happened?
They leaped off the train, ran up the platform like greased lightning, bought tickets to Deal and boarded the train and carried on to Deal. The
right.
point is, it cost them a lot more to buy two tickets for the journey as opposed to one ticket.
Yeah.
And they knew in future, any time they came through the station, I asked for a ticket, they all had tickets to Deal because they knew, I knew, that they travelled to Deal and I'd already kicked them off the train before.
You were the real deal on that one, Michael. Congratulations. Well done. And they knew they couldn't get away with it. Have yourself a good weekend. Thank you, down on the Kent coast. Guy's in Cleethorpes on this. Guy, your story. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Great show as ever. Yeah, my contribution to this is health and safety.
Ah,
I've seen health and safety just escalate beyond proportion.
What do you mean by
years.
That?
Well, it's got to a point where security guards in stores.
Oh yeah.
Nobody can challenge anybody because the businesses have gone through all the health and safety elements and said, oh, it's just everything has become too risky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crystallised by that police officer that came on and said...
Former officer, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
oh, sorry, yeah.
No, it's all right. No, where was the risk assessment and God knows what else?
Yeah, where was the risk assessment?
Yeah, put up a helicopter or something. Yeah.
And just ask a question. So for me, the bit that needs to change is if the stores and the rail network and what have you, if they're still in the situation where it's all too risky, if you've got sufficient training, why aren't they training these people who are policing, you know, within TfL?
Well, bear in mind, the staff are told they should encourage people to pay, but they should not intervene, which is obviously for the safety of the staff. I understand that.
Well, that's the wrong way round, though, isn't it?
Well... Except would you want your son and daughter staring down a couple of blokes who might get a bit ugly and even produce a knife because they haven't paid their fare to get to London Bridge or wherever they need to go? Would you want that guy?
Well, if you're sufficiently trained and that happens, then that's a back-away situation. It's the same as what a police person would do. It's a back-away situation.
Yeah, but hold on. This time yesterday, we were talking about two police officers who, when confronted with a 92-year-old man with one leg, they tasered him. So God knows what they do with the fair dodge.
Well, that's health and safety again, then, isn't it? That's health and safety again.
Yeah, you're right, Guy. Thank you. Actually, sorry, Tony and Stephen has just made that point. Let's not forget what happened at that care home in Sussex. Well done, well done there. Barbara in Essex, I was waiting for a friend at a local underground station. I couldn't believe the amount of fare dodgers going through the barriers, closely behind another person. I approached the station master. She shrugged her shoulders and said it happens all day, and there's nothing they can do. And that's why, if ever you see me, I go very slowly through those barriers. I don't go particularly quickly anywhere these days anyway, but because of some time ago, and I'm still so angry about it, at one particular underground station, the embankment, someone pushed through behind me, and I was so cross. And so that's why I go really slowly, and I'm ready to just lock myself down like in a rugby game. You know, you're 5 yards from your try line, and you are not going to let them move the scrum. You just try. Go on, make my day. Simon's in Edgware. You're on the radio, Simon. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Robert Jenrick is what I call a second-rate politician.
Uh-oh.
Who's desperate for publicity, who is smarting and very angry and bitter because he lost the leadership to Kemi Badenoch and has produced this ridiculous publicity stunt to try and store up a little bit of interest in his genre.
Right.
You're not going to change anything. You and I will not be talking about this. Well, you will not be talking about this on your radio station. I wouldn't even spend much more time after that. But what needs to be done? I'm in the security business. I have assisted night staff once at a station, which I won't.
When you say you run a security firm or something, just give me a bit more.
I run corporate events in London.
Right, got it. Okay, go ahead.
I had a situation where someone tried to get in behind me once, and I just shoved him back because then I'm 6'1" and well built. So,
right.
And you probably know what you're doing. I've assisted night staff once and humiliated a few of them while they ran off. So pay your fare, and he's screaming at him. But look, this is a cheap publicity stunt. You're not going to change anything. While you have a system that has no deterrent, where there's not enough British Transport police officers to enforce it, that's why they're getting away with it. And this publicity stunt...
But what would you tell staff to do? right? So TfL gate staff, whatever you call, sort of now report to you, and they say, Simon, every day we have this bloke who pushes through the embankment station or wherever it might be, Waterloo. What are you going to tell them to do?
You can't expect staff to take those kind of risks. They're not getting paid for it. What you do is you employ more private security staff, and I would actually have dog handlers at stations. It all comes down to resources, I agree, but that is the only way you're going to stop it. And then you get them into a magistrate's court the very next day, and you put them away for a year.
Simon, we can't put, and I'm not saying this isn't a crime, but we can't, we're having trouble finding places for serious criminals.
I agree, but until we address that, nothing will change. The same with shoplifting. During COVID, I was running teams at a well-known supermarket chain. I won't say who it was. But we had pretty much a free hand. It's a deterrent factor, and there's no deterrent. This kind of publicity stunt by Jenrick will change nothing. You've got a mayor, a home secretary, and a government who couldn't even care less about crime, let alone dealing with this kind of thing.
Look, I think that's a fair perception. I do need to represent, I think, probably Sir Sadiq Khan, Sir Keir Starmer. A lot of sirs, isn't there? The Knights of the Realm. The Knights might be a nightmare, possibly. Sort of did the nightmare, sir. No, all right. So I just need to say they probably would think differently. Simon, I must go. I just want to read this out. Andy Newton. So you were furious when someone went through the gate behind you at the tube. What did you say to them? What I remember saying was shouting, "Oi!" Which, having been a journalist... for 40 years, written more stories than you can shake a stick at, been on this show for over 20, all I could think of to say was oi. Ah, dear, it's not easy, this game, is it? Right, coming up after the news.
Our investigation has found that kids as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other children on Snapchat. I'm LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the shocking details.
Plus, do you have, or does someone you love or know have ADHD? The extraordinary number of cases who are not diagnosed. We'll look at that later in the show, in the next hour, actually. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC. News time then. Thomas Watts.
A man is due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including causing GBH with intent. LBC has learned children as young as 14 are being investigated over knife sales on social media. Police say young people are using the platforms to bypass strict rules that retailers have to follow. The latest proposal from the White House for a ceasefire in Gaza is reportedly set to be rejected by Hamas. The US says Israel has accepted the plan, including the release of more hostages and a 60-day truce. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC. In the time it takes to boil your kettle, you could find out if you can claim for a missold PCP agreement. Visit claimsforcars.com, answer a few easy questions, and you'll find out in seconds. If you financed a car between 2007 and 2021 and weren't shown different options or discussed dealer commission, you could have a claim. Claims for Cars is helping people get back thousands on a no-win, no-fee basis. Get the answer in seconds at claimsforcars.com.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Find out if you can claim compensation for a missold PCP agreement or a faulty DPF filter. Just visit claimsforcars.com and you'll get the answer in seconds. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33. Going to be speaking to a former police officer, actually, gosh, more than three decades in the job, who is not agreeing with me on my stance on fair dodging. Look forward to speaking with you, Richard. But hopefully, as someone who's in Law and Order, you'll be wanting to listen to the report as much as everyone else, because children as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other youngsters using apps such as Snapchat. LBC has learned, and indeed you've heard part of this already on the LBC News Bulletin. Now, this comes after he revealed the number of children bringing a blade into school has jumped a staggering 60%, and that's in just 2 years. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes joined Metropolitan Police as they arrested two teenagers suspected of using the social media platform to sell knives. Andy filed this report.
They be selling stuff, like selling knives and that, like kids be buying stuff, like they be going and buying knives and the parents don't even be knowing about it.
An unprecedented number of kids are carrying knives into schools. And for 18-year-old gang member Moses, it's clear how they're getting hold of them.
Parents should be checking phones and stuff to see like what their kids are doing. Most kids, where they get their knives from is online.
It's something the country's biggest police force is clamping down on.
It's an ongoing operation in the Met Police. Effectively, it's targeting individuals behind the marketing and supply of prohibited offensive weapons on online platforms, i.e. social media. A Snapchat user has been identified with the username of K6KK25, believed to be selling prohibited offensive weapons online, arranging collections in the Kilburn area of London.
The Met have invited us to follow its specialist knife crime unit. They're on their way to a raid on a property in northwest London. The officers say the suspects have been selling zombie knives and machetes to other kids on Snapchat.
Hello, it's the police. Can you come to the door?
So they've just started beginning to search the house. Now these kids are only 14 and 16, the suspects, and they're believed to have sold hundreds of knives across the country. Zombie knives, deadly knives. And we're here so early because it's before the school run. They need to catch them before they go to school.
This is DCI James Tipple.
We've been investigating social media accounts that sell knives. By doing that, they can bypass all the security legislation that prevents them from selling to children. So we look at identifying those people who sell prohibited and dangerous weapons.
A lot of these knives are ending up in the hands of children, aren't they?
They are, and that's why we're taking action against these sellers.
I've seen some of these accounts myself. You just open Snapchat and if you just type in certain words or certain letters, all these things pop up. It's pretty rife, isn't it?
If you're in the right circles, they are visible to you, and if you're in the right areas. So children can access them and children can buy them.
And his team soon uncover some of the weapons they suspected.
I found in 14, 16-year-old's bedroom, and mum's give them to us to destroy because they're completely legal. Mum didn't know they're in the house, so that's why she's given them up and given them to us to destroy.
So what's the outcome of this case?
The phone was found in the address. The phone linked to the Snapchat account, so we're going to take two people from the address down for questioning about that item.
Social media is fueling the sale of knives by kids to other kids. The question is, will the government mount pressure on companies like Snapchat to tighten their rules? And what will the police do if they don't?
Andy Hughes reporting for LBC Now. A spokesperson for Snapchat says using Snapchat for the sale of weapons, including knives, is against our rules. If we find this content either through our proactive detection or if it is reported to us, we quickly remove it and take appropriate action against the account. We also regularly work with law enforcement to support their investigations. That closes the comment. Now you can watch Andy's full investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the all-new LBC app. You'll see some harrowing conversations with gang members, teenagers and those on the front line of tackling this growing crime wave across the whole of Britain. That's on the new LBC app, 8:37. Well, we're talking crime fighting, so how appropriate to bring in Richard in Maidstone. Thank you for hanging on the line, sir. And you've had several, well, many, many years' experience in the job. Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. We've spoken many times before. You'll recall I was the police officer that managed to get himself tasered. And you normally laugh.
I'm not laughing, I'm crying. There were tears when you told me that.
I remember
the story, mate. How are you today? Yeah. How's Mason? How's the Garden of Kent? Is everything under control down there?
It's very well. I'm on my way down to Margate at the moment. It's very nice.
What are you going to do there? A bit of fishing? Take Tracy Emin out for lunch? What are you going to do?
No, I work in the court system.
Oh, do
now
you?
Upon retirement, yeah.
Are you a court officer?
No, I'm a magistrate.
Oh, you're a magistrate. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you enjoy it?
I do. It's incredibly rewarding, and I would encourage others to do it.
So do you sit as one of three, or can you sit on your own?
One of three. You can go down to two, but it's not desirable.
I mean, on a typical day, what is it, speeding drivers, things like that? What comes before you? Or a whole panoply of cases comes before you?
No, all matters that go to the Crown Court must go via a magistrate.
Oh,
That guy this morning in Liverpool is appearing at a magistrate's court.
He starts in magistrates and it gets referred up. Of course it does. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Well, have a good day down there. And thank you for the work you do on behalf of the community down in Kent, which, of course, is the county of my birth. Now, let's put you back on the beat. You're not happy with what I'm saying, are you?
No, I agree with Graham Wetton, and I agree emphatically with him. Now everyone.
Sorry, just to explain, someone joining. Sorry, Graham Whetton is a former police officer who's become a policing commentator. He told LBC that he doesn't hold with what Robert Jenrick did because there should have been a risk assessment. Mr. Jenrick was putting himself at harm's way, and he should have gone out with a TfL squad specially designed to tackle this problem. Richard, back to you.
I know where you're coming from, because Graham would have gone on to say, had there been a risk assessment, he wouldn't have done what he was doing. He didn't have PPE, he wasn't properly protected, he was taking on the great unknown without any powers. Now, one of these guys said to him, I've got a knife, and I don't recall the punchline. It was something like, I could stab you or something.
Yes, it wasn't, I'm going to wreck you, I think was the word. He was wrecking.
Yeah, and basically he's offering to stab Mr. Jenrick.
Yeah.
Now, where's the protection if that guy had meant it?
Certainly there's a camera operator, Richard. I don't know whether he had a rest of a crew, but go on with the point you're making. Yeah.
But Graham and I would go out into public order or public disorder, as what are called intelligence gathering officers, and we would go out in pairs, and sometimes I would be working with Graham. I know Graham very well.
Oh, right, but okay.
We would go out into quite violent situations, and we're reporting back to what's called GT, which is the control room, reporting back the mood, where these people are going, who the main organisers are, any sightings of people that we think are of special interest to us. We'd have known people, and you must do a risk assessment as you go. You're walking around permanently updating, am I safe here? Where's my escape route? And all that is, Nick, is a risk assessment. That's a dynamic risk assessment, and we all do it. If you go and confront a burglar at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, believe me, as you're walking down the stairs, you'll be thinking, what the bloody hell happens if this goes wrong?
No, you're
and
right.
That's you doing a dynamic risk assessment.
But,
and you might think,
why would you want to stop a politician highlighting this problem, Richard? Because your whole life has been about law enforcement and looking after people.
And it still is, yes.
Okay, and I was going to say, and you do that now, and you ensure that people who break the law are dealt with accordingly, but why would you not want to support this MP highlighting this issue?
No, that's not what's
being
said.
Like you. You're a good bloke, but this is the computer says no mentality. No, you can't.
That's not what's being said. No one is saying that people shouldn't flag up issues. That's a politician's job. But he put himself in harm's way yesterday.
Right.
He just simply did. If it had gone wrong, you guys in the media this morning would be saying, What was he thinking?
Well, no, I'd be having enormous sympathy for him and wishing him a speedy recovery. I wouldn't be criticising him. I'd be lauding his bravery. But we don't want anyone being hurt. Lastly, and if you don't want to go there, tell me, we were talking about people in the job yesterday who decided to tackle a 92-year-old one-legged man with a pepper spray and a taser. You might not want to comment on the activities of other officers, but did you have a view on that?
I did, and I was talking about it to my wife last night, and she said, what were they thinking doing that? And I said, you don't know the circumstances.
No.
If he is threatening to throw a knife at me...
It's a butter knife. You've got a stab
I didn't
fist,
know that.
Richard.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I would suggest there are better ways of tackling a 92-year-old handicapped
there
person.
There speaks a justice of the peace.
A bunch of flowers would probably help.
Have a good day down in court. Thanks for the work you did. Thanks for the work you do. If ever I get Nick speeding, I think I want to be in Margate. Because I'd come in front of Richard, but unfortunately he'd have to declare an interest and he'd have to excuse himself. But it would be worth a try. Not that you could ever, of course, suggest that Richard would do that. Look after yourself, Sport. 8:42. Chris in Benfleet. Now, this is the other side of the coin, the other side of the barrier. You worked for a transport service, did you? Good morning.
Yeah, I worked for transport for Greater Manchester.
Right. Well, how big a problem was it in the city of Manchester?
Massive.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, you're talking 15 years ago.
Right, OK. Pardon my ignorance. Same system. They just dodge through barriers, do they?
Yeah, they're just on the metro, don't buy a ticket. On the buses, don't buy a ticket. And then, we have to deal then with the antisocial behaviour and all.
So tell me some of the situations you encountered.
Well, we had a group of about 20 kids that would get on the trams, travel all over Manchester, not pay for their fares.
Mm-hmm.
Create absolute mega antisocial behaviour, breaking windows, damaging cars. And then, although we got CCTV, body cams, we control the situation, but then you have to deal with the British Transport Police, the council, because you have to try and get ASBOs on them. And it takes years. I mean, those kids with 500 incidents. It's just uncontrollable. You just can't control it.
Well, okay, so how many years did you do that?
I did that for 13 years.
Did you ever think of what was needed or what would have made it easier for you to enforce the regulations?
But I think at the end of the day, you just need more British Transport Police, more police. I mean, governments change laws all the time. We talk with the shoplifting, where they've said, you do a shoplifting, it's not a crime.
Mm.
So you'll then put it onto where people are. You've got people with morals that do things, and you've got people that don't.
Yeah. What do you do now? Are you retired?
Yes, I'm retired now.
All right, you don't need those days anymore, do you? Chris, thank you. I wonder, actually, there is probably a connection, isn't there? Because this relaxed attitude towards people flagrantly breaking the law, not paying their fare. And let's face it, that same person who's just barged through the Manchester Metro or the London Underground will now probably go into a sandwich shop or a supermarket, nick a pork pie and a fizzy drink and a packet of crisps and just walk out brazenly and nothing will happen. And it does feed itself, isn't it? There's a very troubling cycle of lawlessness here. All right, I know it's lower level and you could say don't sweat the small stuff, but it is the broken window, isn't it? Thank you again, Chris. Let's get a couple of these in. Neil in Hornsey, I've lived in London for years. I'm regularly fuming at the fact so many people avoid fares, and more to the point, TfL don't pursue those who do. Even the ticket inspectors aren't proactive. Someone needs to tackle this widespread problem, and the fact is never revealed. I agree with you, but how are you going to do it? Christopher Glasgow or Christopher in Glasgow. Cheating by not paying for a ticket is shoplifting. It's the same mindset. A deterrent could be an increase in income tax for a short time. What their income? They might not have an income. Dan says, discourage people by removing their benefits. Their decisions must have consequences to deter them. Yes, but then you're going to have to be even tougher when you stop them, because if someone thinks they're going to have their benefits stopped, they're not just going to stop when you say, hey, pay your fare. They're going to take off and possibly increase the level of violence. Coming up in the next hour...
Do you connect more with London than England? If someone
London.
You'd say London?
Yeah.
And the people who say England will say, what about Winston Churchill and Land of Hope and Glory? What do you say to that?
Oh, that's ancient.
This is a report that suggests multicultural Londoners feel little love for England, but they have an affinity to their city, to London. We'll have a full report in the next hour. It's just at 8:46, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. LBC has learned children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. And Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places this morning, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays again this morning on the M2 westbound up to Junction 2 at the A228. It's because of those emergency bridge works. The western stretch of the M25, very busy clockwise from Junctions 14 at Heathrow to 16 at the M40. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes are back open, but it's still very slow. Still no Woolwich Ferry able to run. That's because of an ongoing technical problem. And on the underground, there's no service on the Hammersmith and City line between Barking and Liverpool Street. And then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. It's all down to a track problem West Ham, which also means the District line can't run between East Ham and Whitechapel. And there's also severe delays on the rest of that line as well. And also on the Underground, Temple Station is closed.
This is LBC.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand finished, and expertly installed. make your home. Shutterly. Fabulous. So, don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The countdown to summer is on. But how would you spend it if you won £10,000? A tropical holiday? A luxury cruise? A garden glow-up? With £10,000, you could get summer ready in no time. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Winplus. Great prizes. Real winners. 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
The best family time is family holiday time. And with EasyJet Holidays, brilliant summer package holidays start from just £299 per person, with millions of free kids' places available. Search EasyJet Holidays. Get out there. Price based on 2 adults for 5 nights, limited availability, 1 free child place for every 2 full paying adults sharing, at all protected, T's and C's apply.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £185 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at €250 million. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
Coming up on 10 to 9, we're off to France in a moment. Vive la différence for many of you, but there's going to be a change. There's an end of French resistance to a certain idea. I'll tell you what it is in a moment, but I want to get Dave in barking. Actually, we're talking about France. You want to talk about other countries and what they do regarding fare dodging. What's the point you want to make? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. A week before Easter, I took some friends for a long weekend to Rome. They've never been there before.
Lovely city.
Fantastic place. It's my 50th time going to Rome.
50?
We fantastic. I'll go.
What's your favourite part of Rome?
I love the Pantheon.
Yes, that's the one with the hole in the roof.
And it's incredible, you know, and Santa Maria Maggiore is one of the most beautiful churches. I ain't got a religious bone in my body, but I'll go to all the churches because you pick up the history there,
And that's where Via Condotti is there, isn't it? It's where all the swanky shops are for all the gloves.
Yeah, as you come down the Spanish steps. You get fined there if you sit on the steps.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to sit on the steps anymore.
I didn't know that. And then Covent Garden is Campo di Fiore, isn't it? Where all the lovely restaurants
are. Campo di Fiore, yeah. We had lunch there on the Saturday. And then we went back on the Saturday evening because it opens up then to like nightlife and nightclubs and bars.
And you have all the people standing in statues like Nessa out of Gavin
and
Stacey.
That's it.
Never been there. Right, so anyway.
Anyway, we're coming home on the Monday, right?
Yes, sir.
What we've done, we bought Quattro Biglietti for travel cards, right? Quattro Biglietta. It's a four-day travel card.
Yes, okay, yes.
It's all around the train system, the buses, everything.
Yep.
And we asked, would they get us back to the airport?
Yep.
And they both said, no problem. That's what we wanted, so we didn't have to mess about and getting train tickets on the Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got the terminal station, picked up our sort of like overnight luggage from the stories, got onto the train, got through the barrier with the tickets, which is fine. Sat on the train's pulling out, and a young girl come along, she's a ticket inspector, and she said, like, billetta, por favor, like, you know. My friend said, what's that? So I said, tickets, get your tickets out, I want to see your tickets. And then she still, like, no, it was English, I've probably heard us talking, and she said to my friend's partner, who was the first one to get inspected, this ticket's not good.
So
I said, excuse me. When we bought the tickets, I did ask about this going to the airport. And we told yes. She said, it's only for in the city.
Right.
Just buy another ticket. I said, well, it lets through the barrier.
Yes.
And she said, yeah, any ticket lets through the barrier. So she said, so my mate said, oh, okay, can we buy...
So ultimately what happened? How much did it cost you?
€100.
What?
Fine.
€100. So they didn't even cut you some slack.
No.
You're going to go back to Rome.
Sorry.
Would you go back to Rome?
Oh, I'll go back tonight.
Okay. Well, remember, when in Rome, it's probably best to pay the right fare. But totally different policy there is the point you want to make. Dave, happy landings next time you go. Thank you. I have to get a move on because we're going from Rome. We're going... Well, imagine, it is Le Weekend. You're over just across the channel. That is a different style of life. It's more like a nightclub than a bistro. Who chose this? I wanted upbeat. You don't listen to this in a bistro. You sit there with a copy of Le Figaro, you have a café au lait, you perhaps have a croissant, a pain au raisin, and, if you are so minded, you might light up a cigarette. But, uh-oh, that could all be in the past. LBC's report in Paris, Peter Allen, with the latest. A crackdown on smoking in France. The yellow jackets will be out again, won't they, Peter? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. From July the 1st, you will not be allowed to strike up Gitan or Gaulois. In many parts of France, you'll face a €135 fine. That's equivalent of about £115. But I have to say, you'll be all right on a café terrace.
Ah.
That is exempt from this new law. So you can do what generations of French people can do, including all the film stars, Brigitte Bardot and yes. the like, and actually sit in a café terrace here in Paris or anywhere else and still smoke. So that is the big exception. But other places, beaches, bus stops, parks, and the like, you will be banned. Catherine Vautrin, the health minister here, she says where there are children, tobacco must disappear.
And yet you rightly children. Say, Peter, if I ask my listeners, indeed, as you did a word picture for me there, there is the French man or the French woman, probably, if it's the woman's case, very stylishly dressed. If it's the man, he's got a beret. But there is a cigarette from the lips, isn't there?
There is. It's all part of the French look. A beret, a stripy top,
yep.
string of onions around the neck, and a cigarette at the mouth. So it is. It's something that has been a huge part of French culture, certainly since the Second World War, the new modern France, the new cinematic France, if you like. So this is really a huge social development. The actual smoking ban within restaurants and cafes and the like came in back in 2007, before that thick black smoke everywhere you went. It was extraordinary.
And will there be any opposition, lastly, Peter, do you think, or will people, if it's about the children, if it's for people's safety, if it's preventing early deaths, broadly, people yeah. in France will say oui, d'accord.
Exactly. There's not a great deal of opposition nowadays. The facts speak for themselves, Nick. 75,000 tobacco-related deaths every year. 80% of the public support these bans, they say. But there will be some, of course, who say that if you're on a beach, for example, why shouldn't you be able to smoke on a beach? That's not going to affect anybody, is it?
You're right. Life's a beach at times. Peter Allen, LBC's reporter in Paris. Thank you for that. Now, just on the subject of smoking or vaping, remember, disposable vapes are outlawed from this Sunday. So if you are a vapor, you better get vaping if you've got a lot of them. Is that a move forward, as we hear that? France, obviously, this is tobacco. It is a very different world. And one has to say, much as I love the country, they would seem to be a little bit behind. And not all. Spain, by the way, hasn't changed. But a lot of mainland Europe has changed. But we'll look at that vaping ban in the UK in the next hour. Peter Allen, thank you for your report. 4 to 9. Let's start to move towards the end of this hour by events here in the UK, particularly in London. The fare dodging is highlighted by a prominent Conservative MP, Robert Jenrick. Now, John's in Harrow. Thank you for calling in. You work for TfL, is that right, John? Good morning.
Yes, that is correct.
What is the, precisely, if I may ask, what's the job you actually do?
I'm actually on the gate line, so I'm actually first-hand.
What are your instructions? If I push through the gate at the Embankment or Waterloo later today, what are your instructions?
Basically to actually report it, but not interfere or intervene, quite simply and frankly, because of health and safety and the potential of conflict, if there's a confrontation and the violence that could actually prevail. So basically, it's very, very frustrating, but we're not allowed to have any form of confrontation. If we do, then there's potential for disciplinary action and potentially a sacking if we were to actually do.
I don't expect you to name the station, but are you at one of the busier stations, John?
Yes.
On an average day, if you're on a day shift, how many people an hour or a day would you see dodge the fares?
Hundreds a day. Hundreds.
Hundreds?
The problem is hundreds. The problem is endemic, yeah, and basically it's spreading where people are actually seeing other people actually do it. And from all walks of life, you've got people who are suited and booted, you've got young children, etc. In one particular station I actually worked, you had basically half the school, literally like 300-400 children actually push through, quite simply and frankly, because...
Will you tell me which stop that is? You don't have to, but can I ask?
I'd rather not.
Okay, sir, I respect
but,
that.
But the problem is endemic. My issue is the fact that we're living more and more in a lawless society, and that's where it's actually starting, where someone can actually think they can actually get away with it, and there's no recourse. They're moving on to actually bigger crimes. So now we're seeing from the gate, pushing, now we're seeing from people actually walking into the shops and actually picking up stuff and walking away. Quite simply and frankly, they feel that there's actually no recourse, there's going to be nothing actually being done, and that's what they're actually doing. The crime is actually now moving upwards.
Let me ask you touched on this, John Laster, you and your colleagues, as you watch this happen, can you give me an idea of how frustrated or how angry you feel about this?
Extremely, extremely frustrated, and I have actually not followed procedure, and I have actually chased down some, I've actually confronted, etc., etc. And I have actually been chased down, so I've been threatened, chased. In fact, on one occasion, I was actually, it was quite life-threatening kind of situations.
Mate, it's not worth it, John. For the love of God, don't risk your life for it.
But when you see it day in, day out, and sometimes the frustration is when they come up to you, they smile in your face, they smile, yeah, and they actually then push through as in, like, you have not recourse, you cannot do anything to me.
How long have you done this job? How many years have you done this job?
I've been there for 5 years, and it's actually got worse. It's got worse.
Would you consider asking to move to a different area, lastly, of TfL as a result of this? You'll go behind the, I don't know, behind the scenes or something like that, go down to the platforms.
I have actually moved myself to a station that's a lot quieter.
Well, you look after yourself, John. Thank you for the work you do. I would dream of telling you how to live your life, but I honestly, it's not worth you and your family losing you or your friends losing you for the sake of an oyster fair. It really is. Look after yourself. Thank you. Music means we move on. Coming up, a report that says multicultural Londoners, they might love the city, they have little love for England.